About a minute after Ill had made his clumsy attack on General Gaw, an Impo battle cruiser named the Far launched 6 missiles into the portion of the Conclave space station where Gaw's offices were. The Far was commanded by an Impo named Eyalt Rummel. Rummel, it turns out, had reached an agreement with Nerbros Esir and Lernan Ill to take command of a new Conclave fleet after Gaw was assassinated. Rummel would then take the entire fleet to Phoenix Station, destroy it, and start working down the list of human worlds. In exchange, all Rummel had to do was be prepared to do a little flagrant bombing of Gaw's offices and flagship when signaled, as part of a larger orchestrated coup attempt, which would feature Gaw's assassination as the main event, and the destruction of key battleships from races loyal to Gaw. When Gaw revealed to his advisors that he knew one of them was a traitor, one of Ill's staffers sent a coded message to Rummel, informing him that everything was about to go sideways. Rummel in turn sent coded messages of his own to 3 other battle cruisers near the Conclave station, each captained by someone Rummel had converted to the cause. All 4 ships began warming up their weapons systems and selecting targets. Rummel targeted Gaw's offices, while the other traitors targeted Gaw's flagship Gentle Star and other craft. If everything went as planned, Rummel and his conspirators would have disabled the ships most likely to come to Gaw's aid. Not that it would matter, because Rummel would have opened up Gaw's offices to space, sucking anyone in them, including at the time me, into cold, airless vacuum. Minutes later, when Ill's staff sent a confirmation note just before getting their equipment kicked out of their paws, Rummel launched his missiles and readied another set to go. And was, I imagine, entirely surprised when the Far was struck broadside almost simultaneously by 3 missiles fired from the Gentle Star. The Star and 6 other trusted ships had been put on alert by Gaw to watch for any ships that began warming up their weapons systems. The Star had spotted the Far warming up its missile batteries and had quietly targeted the ship and prepared its own defense. Gaw had forbidden any action until someone else's missiles flew, but the instant the Far launched, the Star did the same, and then began anti-missile defenses against the 2 missiles targeting it, sent by the Eregion cruiser Volt Roy. The Star destroyed 1 of the missiles and took light damage from the 2nd. The Far, which had not been expecting a counterattack, took heavy damage from the Star's missiles and even more damage when its engine ruptured, destroying 1/2 of the ship and killing hundreds on board, including Eyalt Rummel and his bridge crew. 5 of the 6 missiles fired by the Far were disabled by the space station's defenses. The 6 hit the station, blowing a hole in the station compartment next to Gaw's offices. The station's system of airtight doors sealed off the damage in minutes. 44 people were killed. All of this happened in the space of less than 2 minutes, because the battle happened at incredibly close range. Unlike space battles in entertainment shows, real battles between spaceships take place over huge distances. In this battle, however, all the ships were in orbit around the station. Some of the ships involved were just a few clicks away from each other. That's pretty much the starship equivalent of going after each other with knives. Or so I'm told. I'm going by what others tell me of the battle, because at the time, what I was doing was being dragged out of General Gaw's advisor chamber by Hickory and Dickory. The last thing I saw was Gaw pinning down Lernan Ill, while at the same time trying to keep his other advisors from beating the living crap out of him. There was too much noise for my translation device to work anymore, but I suspected that Gaw was trying to tell the rest of them that he needed Ill alive. What can you say? No one likes a traitor. I'm also told that the battle outside of the space station would have gone on longer than it did, except that shortly after the first salvo of missiles, a funny thing happened. An Oban cruiser skipped into existence unsettlingly close to the Conclave space station, setting off a series of proximity alarms to go with the attack alarms already in progress. That was unusual. But what really got everyone's attention was the other ships that appeared about 30 seconds afterward. It took the station a few minutes to identify V's. And at that point, everyone who had been fighting each other realized they now had something bigger to worry about. I didn't know about any of this right away. Hickory and Dickory had dragged me to the conference room some distance away from the advisor chamber and were keeping it secure when the alarms suddenly stopped. "Well, I finally used that training," I said to Hickory. I was amped up on leftover adrenaline from the assassination attempt and paced up and down in the room. Hickory said nothing to this and continued to scan the corridor for threats. I sighed and waited until it signaled that it was safe to move. 10 minutes later, Hickory clicked something to Dickory, who went to the door. Hickory went into the corridor and out of sight. Shortly after that, I heard what sounded like Hickory arguing with someone. Hickory returned, followed by 6 very serious-looking guards and General Gaw. "What happened?" I asked. "Are you okay?"
"What do you have to do with a Khonsu?"
General Gaw asked me, ignoring my question. "The Khonsu?" I said. "Nothing. I had asked the Oban to try to contact them on my behalf, to see if they could help me save Roanoke. That was a few days ago. I haven't heard from the Oban about it since."
"I think you have an answer," Gaw said. "They're here, and they're asking to see you."
"There's a Khonsu ship here now?" I said.
"Actually, the Khonsu asking for you is on an Oban ship," Gaw said, "which doesn't make any sense to me at all, but never mind that. There were Khonsu ships following the Oban ship."
"Ships?" I said. "How many?"
"So far," Gaw said. "About 600.
"Excuse me?" I said. My adrenaline spiked again.
"There are still more coming in," Gaw said. "Please don't take this the wrong way, Zoe, but if you've done something to anger the Khonsu, I hope they choose to take it out on you, not us."
I turned and looked at Hickory, disbelieving.
"You said you required help," Hickory said.
24. I entered the storage deck of the other Oban ship. "So, this is the human who has an entire race to do her bidding," said the Khonsu, waiting there for me. It was the only place on the Oban ship where he would fit, I guessed. I smiled in spite of myself.
"You laugh at me," the Khonsu said.
It spoke perfect English, and in a light, gentle voice, which was weird, considering how much it looked like a large and savagely angry insect.
"I'm sorry," I said. "It's just that it's the second time in a day that someone's said that to me."
"Well," the Khonsu said. It unfolded itself in a way that made me want to run screaming in the other direction, and from somewhere inside its body, a creepily human-like arm and hand beckoned to me.
"Come and let me get a look at you."